but a story.
Okay.
So you are in the story. And I very politely said... very politely said, that doesn't work.
It can. The do-it-yourself books.
They're not storybooks, Logan. It works in music. It works in poetry. No, Goosebumps is not in the second person.
It has a set of books that are. If we does your it? Description of the set.
Oh, is it your choose your own path with those type of books?
Okay, I used to read Choose Your Own Adventures, and okay, to a degree, they're mostly in the third person. Yeah. But there are some elements where, like, where they're having you decide, yeah, where it goes to what would you do, and it does put it in that second. He was telling a story as me. Like, you can't tell a story as me. Choose Your Own Adventure, like I say, to a degree you can. But I read. I used to look for the old ones when I would go to, like, flea markets and stuff.
If I find them, I'll pick them up for cheap.
I had, like, the Statue of Liberty adventure, like, two or three times.
I'm Rene Perez, director of the Playing with Dolls movies, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
And welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Lenny,
Logan.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at The Sleeper and the Spindle, written by Neil Gaiman, illustrated by Chris Riddle. And this is a fairly small book. It only has about 70 some odd pages. But to give you the synopsis, you may think you know this story. There's a young queen about to be married. There are some good, brave, hardy dwarfs, a castle shrouded in thorns, and a princess cursed by a witch. So rumor has it to sleep for... bitch. There are some good, brave, hardy dwarfs, a castle shrouded in thorns, and a princess cursed by a witch. So rumor has it to sleep forever. But no one is waiting for a noble prince to appear on his trusty steed here. This fairy tale is spun with a thread of dark magic, which twists and turns and glints and shines. A queen might just prove herself a hero if a princess needs rescuing. And that is the synopsis to The Sleeper and the Spindle. There are several nice art plates that Chris Riddle has done in here. They are gold tinged in some of the artwork, which makes it pop out a little bit more. So the artwork in it by Riddle is really nice. I did appreciate that.
I love the artwork, yeah.
Story by Neil Gaiman, or some people say Gaiman. I've always pronounced it Gaiman. Do you want to go into it, Logan?
Let's see.
Do you remember most of it?
Yeah, I just... I'm
you were
bad at describing things.
Okay, I caught you unawares.
Queen's wedding day. They're literally making preparations.
She's to be married.
Yes, the queen.
Yeah.
And there's three dwarves going to get her fabric, souse, silk, whatever it is.
Oh, no, that's right. They already have the liquor.
Nah, it's cloth.
I know.
The best cloth in...
They make the liquor in their kingdom.
And they have a very big mountain range in there.
A very big
They go under it, so it doesn't matter at all, but they have a very big mountain range in there.
You should mention the setting. This is set in a twin kingdom setting, and the
entire by a mountain.
Well, they're separated and cut off from everything else that could possibly be by mountains. So it's like a totally reclusive, or I don't know if that's the right word,
world. The only way between them is known just about by the dwarves and the queen. That's it.
Yeah, you can't get between these two kingdoms because of the mountain range. It's that terrible. And do the dwarves know, and they show the queen the way. That's how she knows, right? Yeah. She doesn't know otherwise.
Yeah, there is most likely no other trade between those two places. Which explains why it could get that far without them noticing.
True. Do you want to tell everybody not the setting, but the
character list?
Yeah, kind of explain the characters and who I think they are. You might see them as different, but go ahead.
I know there's Snow White and at least three of the dwarves.
Yep, I caught that.
I have no clue which of the dwarves they are, or if they're
any particular dwarves. No, I don't think they ever named them.
Yeah.
I think they go more towards the traditional Grimm fairy tale version instead of the Disney version of the dwarves with this. Wow. I think all of the characters are much more of that, the style, I mean, Gaiman style of producing the characters. They're much more of the, and I don't mean Grimm in the G-R-I-M, I mean the Grimm brothers that, you know.
G-R-I-M-M.
M, yeah. the M&Ms. and I that's what I got out of it is they if we called them by, if we guessed which one of the movie dwarves they were, we'd be wrong because they weren't any of them.
Yeah. And then there's the Sleeping Beauty.
That's the other kingdom. And like we, Lynn and you kind of already alluded, the big mountain range separates them. They have to go through the mountain or over.
Why do they have to go to this other kingdom, Richard? That's what we're forgetting to say.
Do you remember, Logan?
The distance is what makes the presence magical. The actual going through the trouble of
After they've got the cloth and after they've visited the other kingdom.
Oh, they didn't get the cloth.
They couldn't get the cloth because when they went to the other
sleeping.
And that's the problem, that everyone in this other kingdom is asleep.
Apparently it happened a year ago when the plot of the first bit of Sleeping Beauty happened maybe 65 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. The princess has supposedly been sleeping for 65 years or so. Right. And within the last year, like pretty much everyone's going to sleep. And the queen, the Snow White-esque queen, because they don't call her Snow White.
No, but it's pretty much
black hair, super beautiful, white porcelain skin, red
plus
lips.
The dwarves.
And the dwarves, yes. It's obvious that's who they mean, but the Snow White-esque queen, she's worried that her kingdom is going to be duped.
Well, it is.
So she postpones her wedding. It is growing.
Yeah.
And it is kind of coming into her kingdom. So she postpones her wedding. She tells her suitor, chill dude, I've got to go fix this problem. And that's why they're going into this cursed land. And it's her and the three dwarves with no men. She has dwarves, but she needs no man. Nope. She's a true, like, I really like this heroine. Huh?
She had three men.
Well, dwarves.
They're dwarves. They don't count. no, I just mean in the cliche sense. sorry, Vern. In the cliche sense of a man, like, you know, like character as far as like a prince or king or some kind of superhero guy that's supposed to save her. And I think that's one of the cool differences between this and the traditional story that we all know of Snow White is that Snow White is not a damsel. She's not a victim. She is a queen, and she's here to kick some ass. She gets armor instead of a wedding dress.
If I remember correctly, wasn't she actually the queen of Snow White's time as a princess student for a bit? Or am I misremembering that? And then she almost died because of that. But
I don't.
It gives you a bit of a backstory to the revised edition of Snow White, but I can't remember.
And I don't know. I don't think it's the same witch because
it's not the same. But
she.
They.
I see.
The
I.
Circles.
For some reason, it took me a little bit of time to say Snow White. Duh. And where I figured it out for sure was when she goes into the kingdom that's sleeping, which is Sleeping Beauty's land. I don't know the name, but
it's
in she.
That
goes to sleep, and they tell her it won't affect her because she's already been through that type of magic. Mm-hmm. So we know,
and it doesn't affect dwarves because they're dwarves.
Right.
Yeah. Dwarves are immune to magic. Everybody knows
that. And she was asleep for that year, and then she got woke up. So that's where I was like, okay, this is Snow White.
She had been affected by the apple, and they do mention her apple. So you're right, Logan. So they do let you know that it is
Snow White.
But my point is that this is not your grandpapa's Snow White.
No.
This is a new Snow White from a different universe, and she's on her armored war horse. Yep. She's more like she's a warrior queen, I guess.
Yeah, kind of.
And it doesn't really say what, like, maybe it does a little bit in the beginning, what her people think about her just taking off right before her wedding to go fix these problems herself instead of sending her subjects to do it. And I think that's really cool, a really cool characteristic of the story.
I like how the cobwebs are hanging off the people that are sleeping.
Yep.
But yet,
so spiders aren't affected for some reason.
In a sense, they aren't completely asleep either, because they can move a little bit, we find out later on. But
that was a zombie in the more classic style zombie.
A golem, or what we would call a golem. Right.
But so they were moving, but just at such a slow rate. Was it? Because I remember them.
No, they were actually being controlled. They had fallen asleep. The regular people in the kingdom had fallen asleep wherever they were. As soon as the magic hit their part of the kingdom, they could have been milking the cow.
Made them milking the cow.
I love that picture.
That cow's tits got to be hard. I'm sore. Please let go.
There's grass growing on the back of the cow.
They were good fertilizer.
So
sorry.
Anyway, yeah, it's this sleeping sickness is different now, and it's going to come into their kingdom too. And it's like already in the borderlands, right? Like they can tell that it's already there.
Yeah.
Or when she goes through those remote areas of her kingdom on the way to the other one, she finds people sleeping. Right. Yeah. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt it. Like I said, it's only about 70 pages of that.
Yeah, I read it. Yeah.
And quite a bit of it artwork. Yeah. They've got some full pages that are just artwork.
66 pages.
Yeah, it's not long. It is good.
Yeah, it's not a long story, but yeah, he didn't skimp on the story, I didn't think, for what there is. It kept your interest. Like Logan said, it didn't take very long to read.
He didn't try to put an epic in this format. He used a limited amount of the story, of like traditional aspects of the story, and created a miniature kind of, you know, he didn't need a lot of characters. He used characters
that already existed. Well, so you kind of knew the backstory to a degree.
Yeah, you could just kind of accept them through.
And it clarified the differences too.
Yeah, but
because if I remember correctly, they have a little bit on Snow White's backstory in that setting too.
Okay.
Very much so. Actually, the whole fun of the book is you don't really know
gotcha
that
there,
you don't really know that it's Snow White and the whole time you're thinking, or no, wait, you know that it's Snow White. You don't really know that it's Sleeping Beauty. I mean, it's called The Sleeper and the Spindle. The whole kingdom's asleep. They used a spindle to put her to sleep. So you're like, it's got to be Sleeping Beauty because it's Snow White. We've already gotten her backstory. But they never tell you. And I think they do that is because of the twist at the end. Because if you get into that where you just totally accept it, that twist really nails you. And that's what it did for me, because I read it very fast. And so when the twist hit, I'd still remembered the first paragraph. So I'm like, oh, God, yeah, that's perfect. You know,
saying what this twist is.
Nope, no saying what the twist is. You've got to read it.
We can't give away the twist. This one's good enough. You can read it on your own. You definitely... It's fun because it's a story you know, and you definitely have not heard this story.
Uh-huh.
That's
has a Hubba Hubba moment in it.
Yeah, it's very, very, very...
I'm sorry, but it's like, okay.
No, I forget.
Women empowerment. You know, basically, that's what it kind of is a women empowerment story. Because they are the protagonist. You know, Snow White is a strong character, like you said earlier. So it's a very empowering story for females out there. Yeah,
it's not women empowerment. It's just only characters are female.
Well, no. Well, there are male characters. Yeah, they're very small. Small parts.
They do often.
But I think that it's just like, you know, when this story was originally told, Sleeping Beauty was only a damsel. She in no way could carry a sword, wear armor, or defend herself. That was not her character. And, you know, by the time they made, like, Beauty and the Beast, Disney, I'm talking about the Disney versions here. By the time they made Beauty and the Beast, they wanted to give Belle a little bit of balls, you know. So, and they did, you know, she kind of pushes some people around, tells Gaston to piss off, that kind of stuff. And then, and now they have, like, Merida, who's riding around on a horse, shooting, you know, and actually fighting Mulan, who's a warrior, you know. But this is a progression. When these stories were originally told, that was not acceptable. Like, in the Grimm's time, they're not acceptable at all for any woman to act like this. And to act like this when you're the queen, I mean, that's Anne Boleyn getting beheaded stuff. So in that respect, I'm going to have to say you're wrong. This is very much a tale of empowerment in a very real way, because of the history of the story itself. Because it is the original traditional damsel in distress.
If I remember correctly, there's also a Snow White and Rose Red where they're somewhat monster hunters, right? I've read basically the backs of those and that's it, but
Monster Hunters?
Yeah, Snow White and Rose Red. Rose Red is Snow White's sister.
They're in the Monster Hunters series?
No. Oh. As in they are monster hunters.
I've never seen that. That sounds fun.
Are you thinking about...
I'm pretty sure it's a book series, not a comic.
It might be.
Yeah.
They do have some twists on different books. But this one, you know, it's not that a negative thing when I'm saying it's a woman empowerment by any means. This is a good book, great story, great twist. Oh, God, I love the twist. Yeah. And
it makes it all worth it. It makes it all make sense. That twist at the end makes it all
And I good. Say there's a Hubba Hubba scene in it, but that's just in joking. It's the artwork that's with that picture.
No more than the
very classy
of Disney.
Very romantic, almost.
Yeah.
And so, in that sense, it also lends itself to that empowerment. And yes, you said it is a damsel in distress story, too, to a degree, because you still have that the princess that's sleeping. Mm-hmm. So, it's, you know, that's where I think that's probably about where we have to leave it, because it's a very short story, very good read.
Yeah.
We don't want to give the ending away.
Yeah, we can't really say too much else about it without giving too much away. I mean, the thing
how long did it take you to read, Lynn?
Around 25 minutes, maybe.
Logan? I took 30 minutes after work to read it, just because.
I'll say 35 then. Logan had to read it faster than me.
And it probably...
I actually looked at the pictures and all that, so...
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of... And that's my habit. So it took me about an hour. But I... You know, that's
you
just,
took your time,
I,
too.
I took my time. I'm a slow reader to begin with. I'm an admitted slow reader. But you guys are fairly fast readers. So that'll give you listeners a little bit of a time frame of how long this will take you to read.
Yeah, this isn't going to take your whole life away from you.
No.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, as far as the people out there interested in buying books, you know, it's a very gorgeous book. And and just to borrow it from your library, just to look at the pictures, this Chris Riddell, I have to say, is an awesome artist.
Yeah.
You mentioned the gold. They use gold in black and white imagery, and it's done very, very well. It's just, it's a real pretty book. It's probably, I had never read anything by Neil Gaiman, and then I had a friend mention him, and then I've read this now, and now I'm definitely interested in reading a lot more of his stuff, because it's like Logan said, it was just, he's written very well.
And we did not come to this except for Logan's.
Yeah, because it was sitting on the new set of the library, and I picked it up and read it after work. That's the only reason we got this to review.
Yeah, and Logan told me, this is good. Have you read it? And I said, no. And I think Lenny came in before I could read it, and I said, Logan really liked this. So he checked it out and read it, and he was like, yeah, so yeah, I had to read it too. So, and yes, it's a very good read.
The only negative thing I can say about this is I'm a long story whore, and I would love for them to get way deeper and crazy into these characters and these kingdoms and
have more of the tales,
more of Snow White's past, more of her future. Does she get married? Is it to me? The only thing I don't like about this book is how short it is.
Could there be a movie in the future?
I think they could do a movie
easily.
They could
do a movie set.
Yeah, it's perfect as a script for a movie.
And just to give you the artwork, to give you an idea of how to build your sets and everything, I think that would be a great movie. And better than the one I just watched.
And the way it ends, it could be a standalone story, or it could be Adventures Continue.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so
I thought it was very good.
I feel like there's not going to be any more of this. I could be wrong.
Written, but it's there.
Hold on.
In your mind.
Hold on, Logan. Go ahead, Lenny.
I'm just saying, I don't think that they're going to do anything else with this. I feel like they just wanted to play with this classic. Now they've got their own projects. I know he does his own original work mostly. No. Very big names here. So, I mean, like, they know what they're doing and they're professionals. He could definitely do more with this, but I don't think he's going to. And that's, you know, that's okay because he did a great job of sewing up his story. It doesn't leave you, you know, like, disappointed. It just left me hankering for more. Like, I'm just like, oh, God, I just love these characters and the artwork to go with it. So he would need to have the same illustrator follow him around as he told.
Yeah.
And what were you were saying about?
There are many more adventures in your mind.
Oh, true. It can be in your mind. That is true.
I think I delivered it better the first time, but whatever.
You delivered
it better the first time.
Yeah, but you guys were talking over each other. That's why I wanted to make sure to get you guys separated out so people could hear what you were saying. But yeah, Adventures Continue in Your Mind. That's with any book series. But I would say, any library out there, any personal collection out there, I would recommend to purchase it if you have the funds to purchase it. Mm-hmm. It's a good story and a beautiful piece of work.
I think this is something every child needs to read. Needs to. There, I said it. Your final thoughts, Logan, go.
What? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. That's perfect. It is
good.
Is good.
Yeah. All right, we're going to leave that on that. We've been having fun here. Hope everybody's been having fun listening to us out there. We'll see you the next go around. Bye, everybody. Bye. I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say, but now it's bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.